It's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yay!
If it's 2024, it must be time to tell the
damn story.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Chris Ryan, co-host of Tell the Damn Story, the show that discusses the foibles and challenges of being creative types in the written word. And to do that, I've teamed up with the ancient mariner himself,
Alex Simmons.
Creator of Blackjack, writer of so many characters. And here we are in 2024. We're going to listen to Alex introduce some good friends of ours that we've seen a couple of times before. And there's no better way than to get January going than to talk to some friends. And that's what we're going to do today.
That's right, Alex.
When do they show up?
Five minutes. We get rid of used rooms.
But in the meantime, you guys can sit in. Chris, first of all, my co-host, Mr. Christopher Robinson. Chris Robinson.
Once again, my fault.
Chris Ryan here. Chris Ryan, who I've known for many years, who's written Genius High and a number of detective stories and short stories and screenplays, and has right now out on the market five of six volumes of his Soul Scream anthology, which is an anthology magazine format that he made up all by himself, except that actually he worked with 31, that's not flavors, 31 different authors putting together this fantastic collection of hybrid horror stuff. So if you haven't seen it yet, get on your Amazon ride later and check it out. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing fine. Now that I got all those commercials there, thank you very much.
There you go.
Alex.
I got them all in there quickly. And with Chris and I today, returning for, I think, a third time, because they just can't get enough. The lovely Janine and the remarkable, irrepressible Tom. Yes, yay, Tom and Janine. Yay.
Hey.
Tom Snagowski and Janine Etchison, by the way. I just like Janine and Tom and Janine. It's just
that's what it usually is.
Sunny and Cher.
Yeah, exactly. Just like them, except she's not as tall. And they are, as those of you who have listened to the show before or have written, or I'm not written, read anything of worth and value in the comics and graphic novel, and also screenplay, Tom and Janine are writers par excellence.
We are.
Fiction, horror fiction to some degree, too. Tom, have you written any sci-fi?
No, I don't think I'm smart enough to write sci-fi.
Okay, I'm not going to argue that. I don't know. That's his evaluation.
Honestly, that is why I don't go near it.
Okay. Janine, have you written any sci-fi?
I have not.
Not yet, huh?
Not yet.
But notice she doesn't say anything about her intelligence. She just says she hasn't yet. Okay. There you go.
I'm honest.
Yeah. So here you guys are. And one of the reasons Chris and I wanted you here is primarily to find out what the heck are you guys up to now? Because every time we talk to you, you are doing so many remarkable, fun, crazy travel type writing things. So what are you guys up to now that you can talk about?
See, this is the problem. We were talking about, Janine and I were talking about this morning, all these, we've got like more projects than we could even hope to be able to finish, never mind do.
Yeah.
And we can't announce anything yet because they still haven't been announced by the publishers.
Yeah. Huh. Well, so, Chris, you have a mystery here to solve.
You know what? It's an opportunity. The opportunity is to talk about... To talk about first the challenges of the NDA, of the non-disclosure agreement,
yes,
and about working on material that you can't talk about publicly. We've watched actors screw that up left and right in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, yeah.
How do you two handle it? Is it just...
We remind each other, you're not supposed to talk about that yet.
Yeah. I think
it's like Fight Club over there.
I lean more towards, oh, I can't say anything, so I just don't say anything at all.
Do you find that you're hyper aware of it in certain circles?
Yeah. I think because I've talked to like family members about projects that we've had in the past or will have in the future. And then I'll talk with Tom and I'll go, I shouldn't have said that, should I? I shouldn't have told them that. And he's, no, that's your husband. It's fine.
Now we're going to have to track them down. And
you know, that now that's the way, Alex, because Janine can't talk about this because she signed that agreement. But her husband signed nothing.
Let me get
him
on the
phone. So let's get rid of these two and get the husband on.
So one of the things is just like really exciting that we just found out about maybe what, last week?
It was last week.
Yeah.
Does that make it harder to keep the mouth closed?
Let's do it this way. Animal, vegetable, or mineral? Are we talking a book or are we talking something where people are up on their feet doing things?
This is a novella.
Yeah.
This is where we're leaving comics for a little while. We're going to head into the novella territory.
That's fantastic.
With the potential.
Now, I remember that your very first project together
is a book.
That
we still haven't managed to wrangle because the thing is so unruly.
Yes.
What do you mean unruly?
It's big and it's 500 pages long.
It's flabby.
Yeah, it's a little flabby. It just needs to be whipped into shape. I think we have everything that we need to make it like a really interesting story, but it's
so if it's 500
fluff in it.
If it's 500 pages, how many pages do you think it should be?
25.
Like 350, I think.
About
like 350.
Oh,
I don't know.
250.
That much?
250. Cut it in half?
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt.
What's the genre?
Like supernatural suspense mystery.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was one of those things where I had to find myself pulling back on the kinds of stories that I'm used to telling. Because Janine kept freaking out saying, we can't go there. I can't do that. I don't know how to, I don't know that. I can't do that.
When did you start this project?
COVID, like the beginning of COVID.
So 2020.
May 2020.
Okay, Janine?
Yes.
Can you go there now?
Oh, I can go there now, yeah.
There you go.
All right, there we go.
There you go. Look what you've done, Tom. You've scared her. You've corrupted her.
Spend as much time with me as you
have. We spent a lot of time together.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time together.
We did.
Oh, my goodness. She was so pure and so innocent.
That was so funny. At the beginning stages when we were like,
oh, yeah.
Was throwing out there, would you be willing to maybe attempt to write a novel with me? This might be a nice way for you to break in, blah, blah, blah. And she like put me through the ringer because she didn't think I would be capable of telling the kind of story that she would feel comfortable in telling.
Yeah.
So let's throw in a wee bit. I'm interested in this, but let's throw in a wee bit of background here, backstory, because there are folks, believe it or not, there are people who have not ever heard you interviewed on this show. I know. It's hard. It's
I know.
Hard to
fathom. That's crazy.
Hard to fathom.
It's crazy.
But we got to tell just a wee bit of backstory. Now, how did you find this lovely young lady here? Who's, by the way, married, folks. So if you really want to like read it.
Oh, so am I. And so am I.
He's married, but it's platonic in that respect. But anyway.
Janine, do you want me to tell the story or you want to tell the story?
I'll tell the story.
Once upon
a time, in a nutshell, I had taught seventh grade for 15 years. And at about year 14, I was doing a unit with my students. And I needed an author who had books turned into movies. And Tom and I had gone to high school together. I remembered him, of course. I never forgot him. And so I contacted him because I knew that three of his fallen books had been turned into movies for ABC Channel, Family Channel. And so I emailed him out of the blue and said, hey, would you be willing to come and talk to my students? And so one day in 2019, he came up to Danvers, where I live, and talked to 300 seventh graders for an entire day. And then we just kept on talking and had fun. And then the pandemic hit and I started writing with Tom, and that was... And then I retired. I left school.
Okay. Now, Tom.
Yes.
How did that connection? You just went to talk to her students. She's been teaching these students for 14 years, the same kids. No. You went to talk to the students. You did your wonderful thing.
I did.
Where did that, how did that go from that into writing together?
You know what? It's a really interesting thing because
that's why I want you to talk about it.
She really didn't talk all that much about wanting to write, but there was just something in the things that she did say that made me think, I think she wants to write. And I could almost see in just even in texting that she knew what she was doing. That just even the way a text was presented, there was a certain storytelling component to it that just kind of I could see in hearing her say things about writing here and there and seeing the text. I poked the bear and said, why aren't you doing this? Why don't you, would you want to give this a try? And that
the rest is history. Is
well, the rest is history, but it's so funny because she kicked and screamed the whole way. I could never do that. I could never do that. Oh,
I might have yelled.
I'm not good enough.
I'm still not good enough.
Two things on that. One, Janine, we all think we're not good enough.
I don't think I'm good enough.
Yeah. Good everybody does. Yeah. But now it's 2024.
Yep.
And you have done a series of projects together.
Yeah.
And one thing that fascinated me, one of the comments that were made, was that you have that original project that it's 500 pages and Tom's 250, which is a great challenge, coupled with now you're there, Janine. Now you can go there. So it's not to say that it's because you have a lot of projects happening that we can't talk about, but it gives us an opportunity to talk at least theoretically about two things. First, I'd like to talk to Tom and hear what Janine has to say about, okay, how do you take a 500 pager and knock it down to 250? What great potential information for our audience. Oh, what do you do?
Take out all the vowels.
Thank you. And we're done. I hope you loved this episode.
All the words that begin with K. Gone.
There we go.
Next question.
Some young writer just lost power and is down there cutting the vowels out of his first story. Gonna perplex the editor. All right, Tom.
The thing is, I've written over 40 novels. So approaching this one the way I approached it, because I couldn't write this book the way I write my own stuff.
Right.
This is with a partner, somebody who's still like learning the chops of writing this way. So when we would work on this thing, there was a lot of letting her go. If she was on a roll with something, I would just write. We would just write.
Right.
Just,
and that's how we got to 500 pages.
That's how
and
we got
exquisite learning experience.
Yes.
But now we're in 2024, and we're going to pretend, if you don't mind, for this exercise, that this book, this project did get interest and is something you have to handle. You know what? Maybe I'll flip it. Tom, I'm going to put you on pause for a second.
All right.
Janine, there's a big fat contract between the two of you and a publisher, right? And they're saying, but we can only do 250. That's the only pages we can do. So what is the first thing you would do? And then we'll go to Tom.
The first thing I would do is go through and take out all the fluff. I think we based the two main characters on ourselves.
Okay.
They're high school sweethearts who come back together after 20 something years. But I think what Tom was talking about earlier was how when we were writing it, we'd get to a place and we'd want to explore the character's relationship. We'd want to explore how they interacted now. And I think we maybe got off on a few tangents just because it was fun and because we liked the characters. And so maybe we'd go on for 3 pages when we only needed like a half a page. Or maybe even not at all.
So would you go from page one and read through it with a red pen? Or is that what you would do?
That's what I would do.
And see how much you cut out that way.
Jump into the document and start taking stuff out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now we're gonna put you in this booth there. Hold on for a second. Tom, not yes. so much reacting to what Janine said, but how would you do it, having 40 I think, under the belt?
I think she's off to a good start, because I think there was a lot of us exploring and playing with language mm-hmm. and exploring character and character definition and the whole nine yards. I think going through that and cutting away some of the fat and finding what's necessary and what isn't necessary, that would probably eliminate a lot.
Okay. So now I'm going to push you to go a little deeper.
Okay.
How do the two of you, what's necessary and what's not necessary? For some of our audience, they don't have the 40 book experience.
Right.
How do you know? That's such a gem of information.
If this was totally me, my solo type experience mm-hmm. with my other books, I would approach it completely different. I would probably look at it and just know. That's not helping my story at all. That's not relevant to the story.
Okay, could you expand on that? What do we mean helping or relevant to story? Are you talking about advancing plot?
I think no matter what you do in your story with your characters, it should be teaching you something and moving you forward.
Okay, that's the teaching you is a great little detail and moving you forward.
Yeah,
yes.
When I say teaching, I'm saying, what are you learning about the character or the situation the character is in or mm-hmm. the environment that the character is in? That would be me.
Okay.
But working with Janine, I would use the same mindset, but I would want her take.
So now we're going to go over to Janine.
Yeah, because my opinion on what's necessary, what's not necessary might be completely different with her. She may say, I really like this because of this.
Right.
And it could be an angle that I didn't think of. So.
Now, Janine, there's also that chestnut of you have to be able to kill your own babies, right?
Yeah.
And Mr. 40 books in, he's got a lot of blood on his axe. He's used to it, right?
A lot of baby
slaughterer. But for you, how would you deal with cutting out a scene or an exchange or a character moment that may not teach us, Tom says, or may not move it forward, but you really love that moment?
Yeah.
How do you do that, Janine?
We've had this.
We've
had this already.
Yeah. I think I'm probably not as good at it as he is, but I think I'm a fair editor. And I think that I work really hard not to be precious about things. And if I wrote something that I really liked, or if he wrote something that I really liked, I feel like if it doesn't serve the purpose of the story, then it does have to go. But because it existed, it's still a beautiful thing if I like it. And maybe the same idea gets used in something else. I feel like it, once it's existed, it never really goes away. It might not work in that story or in that novel, but it might show up someplace else.
So I'm going to ask you how you avoid being precious. And then I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to mention to see if you two have the same technique. I'm going to mention a technique that I found very useful. So first, how do you avoid being so precious? What advice can you give a newer writer about that? Because Tom will say, go through 40 books. But what would you say? How do you avoid that?
I kind of figure if I've done it once and I really like it, I figure I can always do it again for something else.
Okay.
If it truly doesn't serve the book or the message or the plot or the character, it doesn't show something, if it doesn't have true value, then it has to go.
So let me go a little granular on this, because Tom said this circumstance actually came up. So there was a circumstance where there was a piece of writing that you obviously felt close to or loved or whatever.
Yeah.
And you had to go through that process and say, no, send this one off to down the river. How did that feel for you, Janine? How did you get there?
trying to remember which one this was.
You know what? I don't remember what the scene was, but I remember it was not easy for you.
So how do you remember it, Tom?
I don't remember. Yeah. I don't remember what it was. It was definitely in the 500-page monster. I know that. But I remember in her going, but and then she got kind of mad. I remember her getting, I remember her getting a little bit like bent out of shape.
A little bit like that.
Yeah.
You know what? If she made that face, I would keep it in because that face was precious. Yeah. I'll give a trick that I use, and I'm sure Tom knows, oh yeah, we do that. But you might do that as well, Janine. But for anyone out there, I open up a file that I call extras, whatever the project is, Simple Rebellion extras. And anything that I think has to get cut, but I feel a little tied to it, I take it, put it in there, and my record is perfect. I have never gone back and taken any of those things out again.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But like it's the island of broken toys.
Yeah, it's just psychologically, it's so much easier to say, I have it there, it's safe.
I need it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's there until, in case I needed to go back to it, and I have never gone back to any of those things. That seems to be very helpful, so hopefully that'll help you.
Okay, but I want
to
go back.
While we're cutting down 500 to 250 pages.
No, I want to go back.
Uh-oh.
She got mad.
She got mad.
Go ahead.
I tell you, he's looking for drama today. I am trying my best, but he is looking.
No, this is interesting because I have seen people trying to work together, and it's gotten coyote ugly.
They
can't work through it. This is an excellent lesson here. So she got mad.
Yeah, she got mad. And I think time served us a little bit better because I don't think it was something that was done right away.
Probably not.
No, I think this was something that kind of lingered for a couple of writing sessions where I could tell she was pissed off that I felt that needed to go. I wish I could remember the specific.
Yeah, because we're not very specific here. So I don't know if it's really a...
I don't remember the specific. It's a 500-page monstrosity that we've
Did
we've
you just out. Delete it? Or did you do what?
I think it might have been deleted.
I know we have multiple copies of the novel in some in Google Docs and you have some in Word. So the original monstrosity still exists in all its glory someplace if we ever had to go back.
She gave me water. You don't remember this, Janine, but you do remember having to struggle with letting go of such and eventually being able to do it.
Yeah.
So here's the question. How do you get past the emotional agita or pain or frustration and continue to work together? Because you guys have been working together for 4 years. And I know you respect Tom and he respects you and all that. But sometimes when you're dealing with the thing that you created, there's a certain amount of preciousness involved. And it's husband and wives have fought. So what do you do? How do you demonstrate the yin yang of this relationship?
It's funny because when we first started writing together, I always had in my mind, and I think I probably said this to you too at one point or another, Tom, like I would always defer to him because he had more experience in writing novels and short stories and comics and everything else. But I feel like because you're such a good teacher, he's really instilled the confidence in me to, if I feel something, to stick to my guns and argue about it. And sometimes I win and sometimes he wins, but we always have a discussion about things and we always decide together what's best for the book. And he has 40 years of experience. And so most of the time, I would say probably like 95% of the time, I would defer to him. And if he thinks that something ought to be a certain way, then I really can't argue with that.
You recognize his experience and expertise, and he also recognizes, Tom, that she is a fellow creative.
Oh, yeah.
And has a right to what?
Yeah, completely. Yeah. I have never used that as my club and said, step back. You don't know what you're talking about. I got 40 years experience. Back off. Absolutely never. I respect 100% everything that she says and just hope.
So mutual respect is a big factor.
Oh, in collaboration? You can't not have it. You won't have a collaboration if one person feels they're superior to the other person.
Yeah. There you happen. Go.
No.
You heard it here first.
No. We were talking about that this morning, actually. We talked about the collaboration process. And I said to her that if I look at my career, there are probably times in my career where I would never even have attempted a collaboration. Mm. Because I just was not mentally in the place where I feel I could give what would be necessary in a collaboration. So when she came back on the scene and I was recognizing her talents and things like that, it's another period. Mm. It's not Tom from 10, 15, 20 years ago. It's Tom in the now, and Tom is more prepared and ready and interested in pursuing.
Classic Tom.
Classic Tom. is that what that is? All right, I'll go with classic Tom. But yeah, it's a Tom much more willing now to do this and have fun with it.
Mm.
As opposed to the Tom that probably wouldn't have thought it was fun 15, 20 years ago.
It's interesting that Tom, the Tom willing to collaborate,
yeah,
met Janine, but it met the Janine willing to take a chance on her talents. Because 10 or 15 years ago, you may not have felt that way, Janine.
Right, I would have been too damn busy. I would have been too busy to pay attention.
Yeah, again. It's that idea with creativity that sometimes things happen, whether it's fate or whether it's inspiration and the collaboration happens at the time it's supposed to happen.
Yep.
The character that was supposed to be a one scene character keeps coming back and solving problems.
Yep.
These are things that it's best for creatives to be open to.
Yeah.
Can you speak on that for a while? How do you keep that avenue open? Janine, how did you open this after so many years of a teaching mindset? And then Tom, how do you keep it open after killing babies for 40 years?
Wow, that's going to be...
There's an outtake, huh?
Don't put that on a t-shirt.
I think that's the line we use for the advertisement. There you go. That's the promo.
Tom kills babies.
That'll get people to listen.
Yeah. I had been in education for about 15 years. And when I had gone into it, I had changed careers from the legal field. And then I went into education. And I always knew that I wasn't going to teach until I was 65 or 70. I just knew I wasn't going to stay in it that long. I just didn't have the desire. I loved it. And I was a good teacher. But I knew I wasn't going to do it for another 30 years. And I had been a little bit disillusioned with teaching. I had reached my limit. My district was going in a direction that I really didn't agree with. They were using a lot of like canned programs to Ooh. Teach English. And that just, it just doesn't, that's just not me. And I had been thinking about retiring for a while. And when Tom came back into my life, and he and my husband, I think within days, said, you probably should be writing. And my husband said, you've been looking to retire. You've been looking to leave the profession. Maybe this is what you're supposed to do. Because I knew I wanted to retire, but I needed to have something else to do. I didn't want to just not work or not do anything. And then he came back and it was almost like, I don't know, the heavens opened up and said, you realize this is what you're supposed to be doing now. This is the next chapter.
This is a Jason and the Argonauts moment, folks. I just want you to know, this is, by the way, this is an Alex Simmons Wayback Machine moment, too.
Time Machine has kicked
your time machine, because the old movie, Jason and the Argonauts, which came out somewhere in the 60s.
I love that.
The gods are playing chess with Jason's life down there on Earth.
Mm.
And I can see you guys going about your business and everything, and Athena and Zeus sitting there going, that's Tom over there, right? Yeah, that's Janine over there. Yeah, watch this.
Yeah.
It's so funny, Alex, that you should say that, because that's exactly the kinds of things that have been happening.
Yeah.
Like things that we can't
since
even...
Since the very beginning.
Things like we...
Admitted for your approval.
Stuff that when you hear... Yeah. When you hear it happening, or when it happens... You go, did that really just happen? That's really cool. That's how strange some of these things have been.
I also am a big proponent of the exciting evolution of people. And we can hear from Janine that she has evolved from legal to teaching to writing. And that's just fascinating. And Tom has killed 400 million babies. How did that kind of savage cruelty open up to the wonderfulness of Janine? You're standing there soaked in blood, axe and sword in hand, and here comes Janine. How did that happen that you said, yes, I will let her save my soul?
No. All right. As funny as you're portraying that, I was at a point, I had a very long, good career, but I was at a point where I was almost like blasé about it. I'd lost the spark. So I would get an assignment, I would get work, and I really just was going through the motions with a lot of it.
And this was a rebirth?
Yeah.
I'll cut that out, Tom. Don't worry. Your clients will never hear that.
I think it's actually very important because I don't think I would have admitted that until
at the time. Mm.
All this stuff with Janine has worked out so well. So she saved me more, just as much as I saved her.
And Janine, all those babies are thankful.
They are. Yes. I've killed a few babies too in the past few years, which is
yes.
Which you know,
proudly, by the way.
That's very proud.
Yeah.
That was a little darkening of Janine there. I've killed.
Well, you have no idea.
Remember, she said she can go there now. Really,
she is ready to go there.
Let me have all the fun.
Yeah, let me ask this. There are people that I have met in various careers and in industries where you meet this person, you go, yeah, I believe they do that. Or, yeah, I see what their life or their career has done to color their persona. You're like an elf, Tom. You're like a playful elf. And Janine's Susie Perky, and yet you guys are writing about blood and horror and stuff like that. Where is that coming from? How do you tap into that? How do you write about fear and terror? How do you do that when you exude such warmth and fun and
maybe
ability?
Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Maybe in our normal existence, we're these relatively cheerful, decent people, but we can tap into that dark side that we can.
Or we're just really good actors.
That could be it too.
I don't like that smile that she had on her face there a moment ago.
You'll never know.
Tom, is that why you're in a separate? No, okay. Because Mondays and Wednesdays, they're in the same room. No. Janine, put the knife down. Put the knife down. Step away from the axe.
Put the letter opener down. I think a lot of that, I've always, even as a little kid, I was always fascinated with like dinosaurs and the black and white Universal monster movies. And that was always my fixation. Like, as soon as I was exposed to it, that was it. That was going to be my, and it's never stopped.
Mm.
It's never stopped.
Janine.
Whereas Janine, I think there's been a lot of me, hey, take a look at this. Hey, how do you like this? What do you think of this? So there's a lot of stuff that she had never been exposed to.
Yeah.
That I said, what do you think of this? And I think I've opened up her eyes to a lot of things that she wasn't paying attention to before.
Okay.
But I think even for years, like when we were in high school and we were like going to the movies and seeing all the movies that Tom wanted to see, because I wanted to see high school kid movies. And he was like taking me to, I don't know, Clockwork Orange and stuff.
Janine, that's a price to pay. Oh my God.
We saw some pretty dark stuff, but it stayed with me and I always remembered it.
Scarred you.
Yeah, things like that. And I remember watching Doctor Who.
Sure.
And it was funny because when my kids started watching Doctor Who recently, when they were home like 10 or 15 years ago, they would be like, oh, this is the mom. Have you ever seen Doctor Who? I'm like, oh, of course I've seen that. And I'd spout things off. And they're like, how do you know about this? I'm like, I watched that in the 80s. And it was all Tom. So I've always like had it in me. I've always carried it with me. But I think being like a mom just tucked it away because, you know.
But now she can use it again.
But now I can use it again.
Is there any place else as a writer you'd like to go, Janine?
I think I'm currently working on a short story of my own that I would probably describe as like a ghost story. And the stuff that I've written prior to this is not horror or ghosty. So I'm interested in digging into that a little bit more and seeing if I can scare myself or scare other people.
How do you scare yourself when you're writing, either of you?
Want me to answer that?
I have to think about
it. I think you have to find what frightens you. Yeah, I think you tap into the thing that bothers you the most and you don't shy away from it. You confront it head on in the work. You almost like, it's almost as if you confront what you fear or what moves you in a more negative manner, and you step back from it, and then you it's almost like you're writing to scare another person. It is you that you're doing.
There's a writer, college professor, Tim Wagoneer.
Yeah, I know Tim.
Who has a great couple of books, Writing in the Dark, for those who are out there and say, how do I learn to do that? He has exercises on top of exercises on top of skeleton heads in those books that taps into exactly what you're saying. And by the more what scares you, the more you tap into the universal fear.
Yeah.
And the universal love and all that sort of stuff. There's an active spectrum that you tap into.
I remember when I first started writing my Remy Chandler series, I refer to that as I put my big boy clothes on because it forced me to go to places that I did not want to go at all. It was like areas, emotional areas, that I knew that in order to tell this story the way this story needed to be told, I had to go there. And it was not necessarily pleasant at first. It was almost like it bothered. There was a lot of bother there. There was a lot of like twitchiness to have to.
You're kicking up things.
You're being forced to look at stuff that you would rather not.
And then personify that.
Yes.
As an actor, especially in some of my more interesting roles, there was one character I played, it was a Shakespearean play, and I played this abysmal, despicable, vile human being.
Is that Titan?
And you have
Andronicus?
Titus Andronicus, yeah.
Andronicus, yeah.
And I had to not only instigate or orchestrate the rape of one person, the abuse of another, and it's just, but I had to enjoy it. My character loved this sort of thing and felt even more powerful because he could bring all of this about. And I remember in rehearsing for it, there were parts of me that were going, my skin started to crawl.
Yeah.
And I had to remind myself why I was doing this role and the fact that it was a challenge. You can play safe. You can play the stuff that's like right here, the pablum, or you can roll up your sleeves and really get into some stuff that's really going to take you, like you said, other places and see if you can pull it off. Can you do it? Because it's not really you.
Right.
So can you convince people it really is? And once I got into that mindset, then you tap into things that, okay, I'm just not going to enjoy the concept of raping somebody or arranging for rape. But I could think of things that I did enjoy. And then use that as the feeling that's going through my body as I'm saying these words and seeing these things. And it was funny. There was one performance. It was over. I went through the dressing room. I'm coming out and there's the Joydit line. So there's people from the audience standing there by the dressing room wanting to talk to some of the actors. And there's these two ladies. I remember them. One of them is practically just giddy. She's, oh, And I'm looking at her, and her friend next to her looks like she's got a knife, and she's just waiting for me to get close enough. And so the giddy one comes over, and she says, "Oh, I just had to tell you, we just saw the production, and it's just great. Just tell him." And her friend's giving me dagger eyes. And I'm waiting. I'm thinking, is this going to be something racial? Is this going to, what's going to happen here? And she goes, "I hated your character so much, I wanted him to kill your child." And I went, "Thank you." And her face dropped. I said, "That means I did my job." Yes. Yeah. Chris often says this, and I mimic him when I say it, but Chris often says it, you serve the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You serve the story. You do what you need to do to get that across, to lay that out so that it registers at 100%, and then you let it go forth and do its thing.
But it's amazing how much of a struggle it is to get there.
Yeah.
You spend so much time, speaking from experience, I spent so much time not wanting to go there. I would do anything to avoid it. I think I even attempted to tell the story another way. So I would have to go there.
When you went there, was there any
residual
retaliation? Yeah.
Because it was very
spiritual cathartic. Or psychological?
Very cathartic.
Okay.
I think I found that almost like that emotion, like tapping into those emotions.
Release them.
Ended up being good. It was almost like a repressed.
Yes.
Heart, like something that you'd like put in a box and slid away.
It was no longer that thing in the shadows anymore. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I want to use that to ask Janine, have you found a way to tap into the darkness?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
That was scary. Janine's scaring me left and right today. it was the confident of the smile and the little glint in the eyes. Like, I don't have a problem with that.
And you wonder how I deal with this.
So can you say
watch
more?
Back. Yes. When we were writing our novel, there was a scene where the main character is reliving her last moments with someone who has passed away. And I remember after we wrote that scene, and I think I had probably written a little bit more, because I think I had it fresh in my memory. And I look up and we were over Zoom and Tom was touched. And he was like, that's like, where did that come from? I'm like, yeah, just I had that. And he's, that's really good. Like, how do you feel? I'm like, I feel fine. We ready? Like, we're moving on or what?
Wow.
And I think he was just.
But you got to remember too, Janine has a very powerful personality in regard to wanting to keep control. of a situation and of a moment.
Yeah.
So I would imagine my emotion of reacting to what she wrote, there was probably something very similar going on underneath that skin.
Okay.
What, for me?
Yeah. Yeah. You don't tap into emotion like that and not experience it in some way.
I remembered it and I wrote what happened to the character based on what had happened to me.
Yeah. You can't not relive that.
It didn't tear me up inside or anything. It didn't make me want to, I relived it. I wrote it. I moved on.
That's amazing.
I didn't feel it. I didn't feel it the way you felt it in writing that.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah.
Have you, Janine, have you found yourself or the two of you writing? I know early on you're like, I can't go there. Have you found an area where taking that chance and going there stays with you? Or are you universally able to compartmentalize?
I compartmentalize pretty well.
I find that once I experience it, it's there. It's always going to be there. It always reminds me, because you're always in storytelling, you're always going to need that emotional punch somewhere in your story. So I find that it's pretty much on the surface now. It may not have been years ago, 15 years ago, but I find that that emotional stuff is very easy for me to tap into now.
I think some of us are sort of feng shui about these sort of things, and the rest of us are the old curio shops. There are clock pieces and things all over.
Yeah.
Little memories and remnants and moments that are everywhere, that if we see it or touch it, we're there. It conjures up. And not to make this a long thing, but I feel the same way about some of the things that Tom does. There's a moment when I guess I was maybe 5 years old, and my mom and I were renting out a room in another person's long railroad apartment. We had this one room, and the woman whose apartment it was had an adult son who had a German Shepherd dog. And that dog and I were inseparable. Wasn't my dog, but he loved me and he seemed to like my mom. And to make the story rather quick, the son was a piece of work and had attempted at one point to be inappropriate with my mom, and his own dog got in the way and protected my mom. So the dog protected my mom, but once my mom was no longer in trouble or anything like that, the dog wouldn't protect himself against his owner. The owner, the guy, would kick him and abuse him and everything. Mm. And eventually he was injured in such a way that the ASPCA had to come to take him away. I can remember where I was standing in the apartment when the front door opens and the ASPCA man, who was white — I was living in Harlem, so it's everybody else, other human beings there are black — this nice guy in a uniform, a button-up shirt, slacks, matching color, like a sort of a beige color, but there were some buttons, there was a tag somewhere, is leading Duke, this hefty German Shepherd, with his head down, leading him out the door. And he turns and he goes down the hallway, and I'm still standing here and I can see the railing for the stairs. And then I know he turns and he's must be going down the steps, because finally his head comes into view and he nods to me and he says, "Don't worry, we'll take care of him." And I can still feel the tears crawling down my face. I cannot see anything else. But there are moments when that memory comes back to me and I still see it.
Yep.
And I can still feel, even as I'm telling it now, I still feel it. And I feel it primarily because that dog protected me and my mom, but wouldn't protect himself.
Yeah.
That's a sacrifice.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when I'm writing a story and a moment, not even necessarily with a dog or anything, but a moment where those emotions are called for, that's one of the places I go. That's one of the batteries I draw from.
Yeah.
It's that feeling.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Drawing from a battery. That's exactly what it is.
It's just interesting. And again, it goes to show that we as artists, as in this case, writers, we're still individuals and we all have our own methodology, techniques, habits, whatever, that helps us get the job done.
Yep.
Yeah.
But as a newer writer at the time, I didn't want to go there.
Mm. Mm.
I didn't want to have to experience that again.
Mm.
Those types of emotions. I didn't want to. It's almost like you didn't want to expose yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But Janine, you have had so many different experiences, especially in the classroom, where the use of emotions or seeing what the children are going through and all that sort of stuff. That does, I can understand how you were able to tap and move on, because in a teaching environment, you have to handle that situation and it cannot reflect the rest of the day. So I really understand where you went with that.
And it's
fascinating to see how people work.
Yeah. For some of our new listeners or people who joined us very late in the expanse that is Tell the Damn Story.
Yeah.
Chris was a teacher for 30 years, high school and writing and literature teacher. So he is speaking from experience, and Janine did it for 15. So
yeah.
they have walked similar halls.
Yeah.
That's funny. So I've been struggling here. I have to commit to both of you. And I've been struggling here the entire episode because I so want to talk to both of you about 2024. But We can't.
One of the things, really nicely getting
how
around.
Can we
it.
Do
Go
that?
Ahead. Go ahead, Chris.
The one of the things we can allude to. I can't give specifics, but
illusions.
But it hopefully our excitement over it will be understandable without mm-hmm. giving specifics. Do you want me to tell a little bit how that came about, Janine? Or you wanna?
Yeah. You wanna tell?
Yeah.
I like her perky. I do so enjoy her perky.
I want to smack Perky. I had worked with an artist named Tom Brown,
mm-hmm.
who's a British. He lived in Maine, but he moved to England, and now he's a citizen of the UK.
There you go.
Fantastic artist. If you're not familiar with him, and he reached out to me out of the blue one day and said, "I'm doing work for this small press publisher who are wonderful people to work with, and I want to keep working with them. Would you be interested in writing a novella that I could illustrate, that I could do some drawings?"
Okay.
I was like, oh, because I've been pretty much immersed in comics for the last sure. couple of years. So I'm, oh, yeah, I might be willing to do that, because I immediately were thinking of my partner there who loves that kind of stuff and comics, but she likes like the more literary stuff as well. So I filed it away. I don't even know if I mentioned it to you right away.
I don't think you did.
No, because I honestly didn't think anything was going to come. I didn't think anything was going to come of it.
Yeah, it was just a question. Yeah. Yeah, it was a hypothetical. Yeah.
So, but I was definitely mulling it over inside my brain. And he reached out again a couple of months later and said, "Hey, how about that thing I mentioned to you? Do you want to do it?" So I was put on the spot where I was, yeah, I think I might like to take a crack at something like that. But then he was like, "Could you get it to us at around before Christmas?" And this was like, what, November?
It was in November. Yeah.
It was like in November. So I was then, okay, we're going to do this, I have to mention it to her first to see if she wants to take a crack at that with me. And so I did. I tossed it her way. And she, of course, in her typical fashion, yes. She says yes to anything that I
do.
The crazier the thing I throw her away, the more, oh, yeah, all right, I'll give that a shot. What the hell? So we told him yes. And we actually came up with a really cool story, wrote out a really detailed pitch and proposal, and had it to him to hand to the publisher by Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, so you didn't have to develop the project before Christmas. You just had to get a proposal in before Christmas.
Because it would have been impossible to.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, how's he going to draw all that? And it's only a matter of a couple of weeks. Right. Yeah, okay.
And that went well? You got the contract?
Basically, the guy was ecstatic to hear that we would be interested in working, because he's a little guy. But he's a little guy getting a lot of buzz.
A lot of press lately. Yeah.
And after having met him through a Zoom, he's a wonderful guy. We immediately got along really well with him. So he was ecstatic to have us come aboard.
Fantastic.
So he's so gonna and doing which character now?
Envelope. Yeah.
It's a brand new character. We're creating a brand new character.
Oh, fantastic. Superhero, supernatural, detective, what?
Supernatural. I don't know. I wouldn't call it a detective. She's not a detective.
We have a gender, ladies and gents.
She's a very tormented character. She's somebody who's gone through a lot of bad stuff for a very long time.
Ooh.
Learning to live with that. Paying the price for something that she did hundreds of thousands of years ago. I'll give you that much.
That's interesting.
Still paying the price now for it.
Redemption is
attempting to make amends for a very bad thing that she did a long time ago.
I really don't know that she should take responsibility for the comets and the dinosaurs being killed. I really think that's just a matter of environment.
Honestly, that would be a good, that would be actually a good bit.
That'd be a good day. It'd be upgrade. Yeah.
That would be a good bit.
Yeah. So this is one of several things that you said are coming your way in 2024. Any of them Can you project when we, the public,
when
might
come our way?
See them in 2024? Or are they going to be later than that? Or
one of them comes out in July.
July.
Okay.
So we'll be able
a new series.
Yeah, that's a comic book miniseries.
And so we could talk about that down the line.
Yeah, yes. Probably relevant. As soon as it's solicited.
Probably in March, I think.
Maybe.
Is that one? That's when our editor said he needed.
Right, for solicitation.
Copy. Yeah, for solicitation. So it'll be solicited in March.
Yeah, but people won't see that solicitation probably until like May.
April? Oh, April and May. Okay.
April, May. A
couple months ahead.
Yeah, it's 2 months.
Well, ahead. Keep us posted on that. Definitely. Let us know.
And at that point, hopefully the novella stuff will have been announced also.
Oh, good.
So we'll be able to talk about that more, because that's going to be a very interesting experience, because our prose writing was done on our own schedule. This one is going to have a deadline.
Mm.
So this will be very interesting to see how we can't have a big flabby mess with this one.
We won't.
Because we have to.
No, stay on the treadmill.
I'll tell you what, Janine's got a game face on.
Oh, yeah, she's ready for this.
Yeah, I think I'm ready for this one.
Yeah, I think it's good. You guys have spent 3-4 years developing your collaborative routine, your style, your respect for one another. I'm now running down the list of things we've covered. You've had some experiences together, and you've shared a lot of that with us. And by the way, we are running out of time. So I just want to say, all of that does make it sound like, yeah, you're definitely ready for whatever in 2024, Batman and Robin. Yeah,
you're
that's
Batman.
Right.
You're Batman.
You're
definitely Batman.
Yeah, I saw that.
She's Batman.
Yeah, that very Batman-like. Yeah, I went there, and I'm fine. That's a Batman.
Yeah. All right, whatever.
Yeah.
So again, I never plan. We're going to talk about with the both of you since after the first time, and I am always so grateful and so fascinated by what you are willing to engage in and where you're willing to go. So that really is, I think, helpful for the audiences, but I just love it. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Hopefully we'll be back soon.
There is no hopefully
Sitting in front of our
more
tonight
popular
is
Tom. Yeah.
No, you guys are always welcome back for sure. And by the way, we tend to invite you, call them, and we write and we say, hey, guy, would you like to? But you can also, absolutely, if you got something you want to talk about, let us know.
It's time to come.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody can help by smashing the and subscribe button.
Smash the what?
And subscribe, my
Yeah,
brother.
That's right. Subscribe that bad boy.
There you go. That's right.
So again, Tom, Janine, thank you so much. So much fun and so much wisdom shared.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
I'm glad you shared wisdom.
We'll see you very shortly.
Yes. In a matter of weeks, if you want to think of it that way. And everybody else, please leave your comments and questions for us. And if you have anything you want to ask these two, leave your comments from us. Also, I'll leave a link to the websites in our comment section so you can find them on your own. Yep. But either way, do come back next week, because we still got more good time wisdom for you so you can tell your damn story better.
There you go.
Take care, everybody.
Peace.